Let's take out a copy of God's Word and turn to Matthew 5, continuing in our series in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And I've entitled this sermon, A Simple Yes or No. A Simple Yes or No. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. And follow along as I read. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus is speaking and he says, Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Wow, powerful words again. Can you imagine having been there for that experience? We all have at least heard these words before. For the people gathered around Jesus, they would have been hearing this for the first time, and it would have rocked their world, what he was saying, I can guarantee you. Well, I think all of us, our moms, have warned us something like this: if I ever catch you swearing, I will wash your mouth out with soap. Did anybody ever have that happen? Get your mouth... Oh, we've got some takers here. Thankfully, I never did. And all I can say is it's because my mom never caught me. Well, while our mother's instructions and their intentions were good, what they were really policing there was not swearing. It was coarse language or foul language. Because this isn't the swearing that the scriptures speak about. This isn't the swearing that Jesus is concerned with here. What Jesus is concerned with is people swearing an oath. And that's not unfamiliar to us. I mean, how often have you heard, or maybe you've even said it yourself, something like, I swear on a stack of Bibles that what I'm saying is true. Or we've all watched a presidential inauguration, and the president puts his hand on a Bible and swears to uphold the Constitution. Or in a court of law, a person is called on to raise the right hand, or sometimes to even put it on a Bible, and to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And some courts even add, so help me God. That's swearing an oath. Have you ever thought about it? What is it that we hope to gain by doing this? What's the purpose of swearing an oath? Something that we often do and perhaps don't think about. Well, when we swear an oath, our goal is that there would be some measure of assurance, a heightened sense of assurance, that what the person is saying, that they really mean it. That they really mean it. In fact, in verse 34 of this text, the Greek word that we translate taking an oath means to grasp firmly. And what it refers to is the practice of the ancients in that they would grasp some sacred object, and then they would swear a vow or an oath. And the goal was that they wanted to link with that sacred object the assurance that the person would do what they said they would do. Or that they what they were saying was true. And it was intended to work in at least three ways. One, as we said, to encourage confidence in the listener, because they would assume that the oath taker would not dare desecrate that sacred object by lying. But two, it would work in the heart of the one swearing the oath to encourage them to think very carefully about what they're about to affirm, what they're going to commit to doing, or is what they're about to say is true. And then I believe as well that having affirmed that oath, having sworn that oath by some sacred object, that later on, as they're contemplating whether they should carry through with the promise made, that it's going to add weight to their conscience and encourage them to follow through. But here's the problem with swearing an oath. It's easy to speak words. Words flow out of our mouths without any effort whatsoever. But following through on what we've sworn, that's a whole other matter. And what the mouth says doesn't always represent what's in the heart, does it? People can often lie, and lie very convincingly. And it is this that Jesus is addressing. This is the problem that he's addressing with his teaching. And he begins, as he has, his practice has been in this Sermon on the Mount, is to quote the law. Look at verse 33. He says, "Again, you have heard what was said to those of old. You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn." And that phrase, "you shall perform to the Lord," reveals that what the law was intended to govern was swearing in the name of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, that would have been all caps, L-O-R-D, all in caps. That's the name of the Lord. It's not his title, it's his name. And let me just say that in the New Testament, whenever you see Lord, it is referring to the name. It's like as if it were in the Old Testament, all caps. So, if in the name of the Lord, you swore to do something, this law says, then you must do it. Don't swear falsely. Do what you promised you would do. And failing to do what was promised in the name of the Lord would make you guilty in two ways. First, perjury. Lying about what you were swearing as being true or what you were saying you would do. Lying about what was promised. That's the first thing. And then the second was profanity. Now again, we think of profanity as cursing. But what profane means, to profane something, is take something sacred and make it common. That's what the word means. And so by making an oath, swearing an oath in the name of the Lord and not keeping it, you were making common the sacred name of the Lord. You were profaning it. And this is actually what it means to take the Lord's name in vain. It's to swear an oath in the name of the Lord and to not do it. That's what taking the Lord's name in vain is. But the Pharisees had twisted the intent of the commandment. And what they taught was that the commandment was there to govern how the Lord's name was used in swearing an oath, and not whether someone swearing the oath would actually keep it. In fact, they created a list of appropriate oath-swearing formulas. Say, really? Yes. In fact, we find examples of them. And what I'm going to do is I'll project this on the screen, but you can make note of the text. In Matthew 23, verses 16 through 22, we read the following. Again, Jesus speaking, and he's speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, "Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'If anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath.'" And Jesus says, Dale Carnegie course is paying off here, "You blind fools! For which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, 'If anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath.' You blind men," Jesus says, "for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God, by him who sits upon it." They had twisted the commandment of God. Why? Well, obviously, they twisted it so that it would accommodate their sin, so that someone could actually swear an oath, but say, "Well, I didn't swear it by the gold in the temple, so I'm not bound by that oath." But let me ask you, have we not done the same? We, in Christian circles, have limited the definition of using the Lord's name in vain to cursing. And we would never do that. We wouldn't dream of it. But are you as diligent about keeping your promises? Or by always being truthful? Because to do so would be to violate this commandment. If you lied, if you didn't follow through. Jesus provides for us the correction. Look at verse 34. Having quoted the law, he says, "But I say to you," and again, he's not going to countermand the law, but rather addressing the twisted interpretation that the Pharisees had. He says, "But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." The Pharisees were playing around with the wording to create loopholes in God's commandment. But here Jesus is addressing his disciples, his followers. He's speaking to you and to me out of the pages of Scripture as members of his kingdom now, as those who are committed to pursuing his kingdom righteousness. Don't play word games with God's commands. Don't read it and then try to find the loopholes in it. In fact, what we should do is go the other way. We should study it. We should meditate on it. We should take it to heart so that we feel the full weight of the commandment. And as we learn more and more about the implications of it, our lives should conform more and more to what it commands. We continually pursue this deeper understanding of God's commands, and so we continue to grow in our maturity in Christ. That's the idea. And this is why Jesus says, don't take an oath at all. Don't take an oath at all. Don't take an oath by heaven, Why? Well, because that's the throne of God. In swearing an oath by heaven, you're swearing an oath to the one who lives in heaven. You're swearing to the one who reigns in heaven. You're not evading the commandment like the Pharisees taught. By swearing an oath to heaven, you're swearing in the name of the Lord. And Jesus says, don't do that. In fact, don't take an oath by the earth. Someone thinking, well, I'll get around the swearing by heaven. That's God's throne for sure. But I'll swear by the earth then. Jesus says, no. Don't do that. Why? Because that's God's footstool. In taking an oath by the earth, you're not evading the commandment. You're swearing by God, to whom, according to Psalm 24:1, the earth and everything in it belongs. It's all His. You're taking an oath in the name of the Lord. Do not take an oath by Jerusalem, Jesus says. Why? Well, again, He's citing a psalm. Psalm 48:2 declares that Jerusalem is the city of the great King. City of the great King. So by taking an oath by Jerusalem, you're swearing that oath by God to whom Jerusalem belongs. You see, you're not escaping, you're not evading the commandment. You're still subject to it. So someone might think, okay, so I'm going to avoid heaven, earth, and Jerusalem. What if I swore by my own self? What if I swore by my head? What could be my foot or my hand? We often say, I swear by my mother's eyes, our poor mothers, right? What about that? Well, Jesus says, no, don't do that. Because the fact is, you can't make one hair black or white. I wish I could. All this head of white hair that I have. Because we're not sovereign over our bodies. Truth be known, this body isn't yours. It belongs to Him. Psalm 24 again says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who dwell in it. You belong to God as well. So even if you take an oath by your own head or your heart or your eyes or whatever part of your body you want to swear an oath by, you belong to the Lord, every part of you. And you're swearing by God to whom you belong. You're swearing in the name of the Lord. So Jesus says, rather than doing that, verse 37, let what you say simply be yes or no. Yes or no. We belong to the Lord of truth. And we're to be committed to being people of the truth. Remember, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We're supposed to be a people committed to being truthful. So we shouldn't need to swear oaths to buttress our credibility, to convince people we're truth tellers. Don't rely on the fear of desecrating something sacred like a Bible, swearing on a Bible, or the name of the Lord, or your head, or whatever, to motivate you to be truthful. You should be motivated by the Spirit of God who indwells you and your desire to be Christ-like. So be committed to truth-telling. Always answer truthfully. Always. Jesus says, let your answer simply be yes or no. You want to develop a reputation as a truthful person. That they would say of you, oh yeah, man, you can trust them. They tell the truth. Because you swear oaths? No, because you tell the truth. You've developed that reputation. You have that habit. And don't play word games with promises you make. And don't promise lightly. I've had people make promises to me that they had no intention of keeping. And when I asked them why they did it, they said, well, I thought it would make you happy. Well, it did initially. But then what happened? When they didn't follow through, any happiness I had over their promise was swallowed up by anger and frustration. What's better is to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Let me feel the heartbreak once. Tell the truth. Let what you say be yes, I will do it, or no, I will not do it. And then keep your promise. Keep your promise. Pursue a reputation as someone who keeps promises. We all remember that men's movement, promise keepers. Be a promise keeper. And let the assurance of your promise come from a history of faithfulness. Let your own life be what bolsters people's confidence in you. Whenever we talk about this passage, what question always comes to people's minds is, okay, I get this, but what about in a court of law where the practice is, I don't know how common it is yet today, but if not being called on to swear on a Bible, we are nonetheless called to swear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And as we said, some courts even say, so help me God. I mean, this is running square into what Jesus is talking about, isn't it? Should you do it? It's interesting that in reading up on this, I wanted to give you a thorough answer. I know my own convictions. But there are some theologians who are as committed to the Word of God as you and I are, who say that, no, that it isn't wrong to swear an oath in a court of law, or say in a wedding ceremony, or if you're going to be elected president someday, Don Brett children, swearing an oath to uphold the Constitution. And the reason is this, is they don't believe it's a violation of Jesus' command here, because what Jesus was concerned about was truthfulness. That's really at the heart of what Jesus is about here. But of course, there are others, and I will tentatively say I think I fall in this second camp that say that even in a court of law we shouldn't swear an oath. And my hesitancy is only in that I've never been put in this situation. But I'd like to think that my conviction would be that I would say, no, I'm not going to do it. In fact, let me describe to you an actual situation. This is reported by the Church Law and Tax Association. And they tell about a woman who brought a tax appeal to a tax court. So she's the one that's initiating this. She wants to make an appeal in a court of law about some tax issue. When asked to swear to tell the truth, she refused on the grounds that to do so would violate her religious convictions based on this very passage of Scripture. As a result, the judge threw out her case. So what did she do? Well, she appealed to a higher court. And that court agreed that her rights had been violated, that she had the right in the court of law to not, on religious principles, to not swear to tell the truth. In fact, that court ruled that a simple statement like, "I state that I will tell the truth in my testimony," would be sufficient. So I would say that if you're in that situation and the genuine conviction of your heart is that to do so, to swear an oath, be it on a Bible, or so help me God, or even just to swear to tell the truth, that it genuinely violates your conscience based on what Jesus said. And it's not just some ruse to get you out of perjuring yourself, then by all means, act on your convictions and appeal to the judge. And ask that you might say something like, I state that I will tell the truth in my testimony. In other words, to let your yes be yes and your no be no. And Jesus says that anything more than this comes from evil. And what he means there, I believe, is that anything more, any added words are just the human heart expressing its sinful motives. It's trying to evade the commandment of God, trying to accommodate our sinful motives. But James chapter 5 says, echoing the words of Jesus, but above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Let's pray. Lord God, as the one that knows our hearts, as the one from whom nothing is hidden, I pray that you would search us and know us, and see if there would be any wicked way in us, and lead us in your way everlasting. Lord, as our faithful friend, wound our hearts if we are not truth tellers, if we are not promise keepers. Lord, convict us of your kingdom righteousness, that withering standard present to us by Christ, that we might fully rely on your Spirit and your Word at work in us, doing what we cannot do, changing us to be more like Jesus, empowering us to live the lives that you've called us to live, that we might be a people of truth, because you are our God and you are a God of truth, that we might be people who keep their promises, because you are a faithful God who keeps his promises, that we might be fit ambassadors of Christ in this world. Accomplish that in us, I ask, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.